Just relax yourself, then we can start the next session. What I will do is, because we're supposed to have 1.5 hours, 8:30 to 11, so I will combine the whole thing, I will compress it, then we have a normal Dharma sharing and Q&A, because this is our last session, so I will need to finish off some Dharma. But before we start, there's a sister, Ann Chiu. She has this wish to get some of the chanting CD from this temple. She was looking for it. Then I think one of the nun or one of the monks or I don't know who. Oh, English speaking nun. She gave it to her. She was full of joy. Then she also had this good intention. She wants to burn for you all, if you all want. So, if you all want, then she will prepare to burn it. So, what we will do is, we ask our Kalyanamita fund, or our retreat fund, to help cover for some of the costs. You get people to do, or you do yourself? Now you contract the people better, You see how much you let Sui An know, Or Sui An can do, better. He is an electrical engineer.
Actually, I've got a duplicator at home.
Yes.
Duplicate 4 at a time.
Good. Then we buy the CD for Sui An, and whatever cost needed, we just pay. So. VCD, you got one. Also can, never mind. So, you pass the Suyan? Come, Suyan. You all let her know how many set, then he will burn. You burn one set for my wife. She will like this. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Chan Hui, Chan Hui. The joys will do, Sadhu. So we all rejoice. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. We rejoice the wholesomeness of the nun and the monk. They were very helpful. And they also have a lot of joy when they see so many of our people morning, 5 o'clock already there. That's why they're very keen to teach you and show you the pages and all that. And one of the nun, I think that one very sincere, the earliest to be there one, the tall, fair one. She always smile, a lot of joy. I tell you, she got a lot of parami. She will come to know. This is what right livelihood or right living is all about. When you are kind, when you are sincere, when you have a lot of joy, people can feel you, can see you. Then you only need to meet one cultivator. Just I rejoice and I send her the pure wish too. Because I say, may she realize her good and noble wish as soon as possible. Because she was so sincere and so on. No selfishness at all, just the joy of seeing people come and join them. Because seldom people wake up so early. Then you got a group that are so sincere. So these are the conditions that will arise. Then they take the trouble to get you the CD, everything. That's why after the closing ceremony, we should thank them. Thank them for their kindness, their good nature to allow us to use this place. And at such low cost, they only charge us for the food because the caterer there, I think they are paid, some of them. Otherwise, you cannot get people to cook for you and prepare the food for you. So it makes our retreat a lot easier, understand? Then at the same time, he gave us all the lodging, the electricity, the food, everything is free. So we also need to be very, very sensitive and play our part. And it gave us good condition to have this good thought, to rejoice not only in their wholesomeness, but at the same time give us the condition and opportunity to make offering to the temple for whatever use, so that you partake in the goodness and wholesomeness that the temple do on as well. So you don't go and think of cover their utility bill or those things. That is one aspect, of course, but you donate to them as a general fund and as well, their pool, just like our Kayanamita fund. So you partake in everything they do on as well. Is part of the donation. So in that sense, it has more meaning. Then you can rejoice because it's going to benefit so many people, this place. All those who come for retreat and all those who benefited from it. Even your group, you never know. Maybe after the retreat, you become different. Then you diligently cultivate and develop your cultivation. Then maybe years down the line, you awaken. Just like 20, 30 years ago when I was here, I benefited tremendously from this place. And you can say, I'm the product of this temple retreat. So whoever who had donated, like the chief monk and all those people, all those, I saw the list. Just now the hall you all go in, do you all see on top inside? They got the Malaysian donor, the Singapore donor, Singapore Malaysian. Although I don't know how to read real Mandarin, a few words I know. Singapore, Malaysia, I think must be donor. A lot of words down there. But that plaque was very nicely done up, very beautifully done, like in gold. Then you are observant. The altar there were so many things. Lotus and the images and the light, the jewel and all the things, many things there. Then the energy is very good, the vibration is very good. So these are the things when you have awareness, you are sensitive. You can feel, you can know what is going on. Mm. So okay, enough of this story. Now we go.
Can.
Okay.
First thing is, I've got only 4 or 5 sets of these Ajahn CDs on Dharma threads. First one is on generating mindfulness, developing loving kindness, and contemplating impermanence. That's the first CD. And the second one is death and dying. And then there are 2 more CDs, going beyond suffering into peace. So I've only brought 4 or 5 sets with me. So those that we don't see you so often, can you please collect from me? And those that you see us more often, you can collect from the Tuesday class or the Thursday class. The first 2 CDs were actually, we burned 1,000 of each from the Thayamita. So that was from last year's retreat. Just a little bit of sharing, since Brother Teo mentioned about the...
I got that too, is that? Use the other one. That one can change the message.
Sorry. Since Brother Teo mentioned about sharing of merits and affinities and all, this is from our what happened to us and what was being shared with us. I think yesterday Brother Teo mentioned about the Lompol Mahabowa. Somewhere in his book is mentioned that there is 90-something arahats, 94, 96, living up arahats. And 91, isn't it? Okay, for those of us that has been traveling with Brother Teo the last 2 years, we have the benefit of meeting some of them. And last year, on the last stop of our visit, is a place called Wat Na Luang. And the abbot is, not the abbot, the monk that started it, is his name is Long Po Thong Bai. So about a year ago, end of May last year, a few of us, Mi Fong, Ng Bi, myself, and probably another 8 of us. There were 11 of us all together. We went and visit Long Po. And for whatever reason, he spent a lot of time with us. 1 hour the first day, 1 hour the second day, and 2 hours the third day. Usually he's quite busy and he doesn't have so much time. So the first time we meet him, he says, we have affinity. In our past life, we were all involved in a merit making during the first Buddha of this world cycle. And I say, wow. that's something like 3 or 4 Buddhas ago. No? It's not this Buddha. So I said, right or wrong? Is this right? I mean, am I hearing the right thing? So I asked the translator, and the translator said, yes, that's what he said. Then I asked the translator again, does this monk, Long Po, ever joke? No, he said, never. He's a very, very serious monk. So at least there's this comfort that, hey, whatever this Long Po says is true. But the takeaway point is that every time we do something meritorious deed and we share merits and we say sadhu, we don't know who among us are the cultivators that will go forth. And many, many world cycles or Buddhas later, we could meet again because the affinity is there. I think Brother Teo is encouraging us to rejoice and create that affinity for us to come back and do whatever we need to do until we get to Nibbana. Sadhu to all of you.
Okay, thank you so much for the sharing, Brother. Actually, what he said is very true. When you cultivate, you will know. You will understand what affinity is. The whole world, existential world, is about cause and effect. Without affinity, there is no condition for things to arise. Understand? That's why every generous thought, every kind and good thought has its condition for fantastic thing to arise, and you never know. This type of cultivation, this type of donation that you donate to temple that truly cater for this type of activity, the merits, the view of merits is immeasurable. You can never measure. You know why or not? It's just like if you build this temple, maybe it will last 100 years, I don't know, or more. So during this period, a lot of people will benefit from it. They will come and cultivate. Some are monks and nuns. So some just come by, understand, as tourists, as visitors. Then somehow it creates condition for them to have faith and come into contact with the Dhamma. Then from there they start to cultivate. Then it may be many years later or many lives later, they become enlightened. See, all these merits are connected. So when it's connected, this enlightened being, if he takes the bodhisattva away, he will benefit a lot of beings. That's why this type of merits is immeasurable, and you never know. And every time people come and pay respect to the Buddha sincerely, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, or attend the retreat or the morning, evening chanting of the temple, you do it sincerely with understanding. The field of merits is immeasurable. And do you know how many people pay respect? That's why the energy also build up. Understand? Every time you pay respect, you send in your sincere, pure thought, good energy. That's why all these images has its ability to retain energy. And the best one is the marble. You see all the marble, the jade. This crystal, they store a lot of energy, a lot of fine vibration. That's why you go to SGBA, that Buddha image downstairs on the Dhamma hall, very strong energy there. Yeah. And over the year, SJBA, I think 10 over years, coming to 20 years, 1996-97, you all built it. Because Sui An happened to know me. That time the condition is meant to be. The QS suddenly too busy, want to withdraw quantity survey. Then he asked me to help. Oh, I said, can this view? I'm very good. I'm an expert. So I volunteered to help. So I took over. Then there's an architect, Miss Lim. I think they know. At first, Miss Lim don't believe. He's not a Buddhist. He's just a professional architect. Then after I went and joined the consultant, I was in charge of the quantity survey side, the contract side. So from the way I deal, she was very impressed. Then there's another James Koo, I think that one is also representing SJB. I think he's the treasurer at the time. Or secretary, yes. He also know me. So he liked to talk to me on Dhamma during the meeting. So when I explain things, this Muslim start to look at me. Then after that, there is a lot of claims and all those things in between. I resolve it very easily, very, very amicably and very fast. You see. Then I able to finalize the account, everything very well. Then that project was very, very cheap. If you don't believe, you go and check the account. The whole contract for the SGBA building contract, you know how much it is? Less than 2 million. Now they build any building, also they tell you 6 million, 8 million, 10 million. But that was about 17 years ago. So put in inflation, maybe at least 2 or 3 times. So the thing that I want to drive at is SJBA over the 17 over years has benefited so many people. Understand? Have given the way place for people to develop the meditation, the faith, the understanding of the Buddha Dharma, and they have their what they call their motto, or what they call their mission statement. Yes, Their mission statement is very good, towards caring and loving Buddhist center. Then they got a few more of this, what they call vision statement, which is very good to help in the propagation of the Dhamma, to provide a place for people to develop the faith, the cultivation, the meditation, and all those things. So it has a lot of activity, actually. The EXCO did a good job. And that place is very lucky because a lot of generous donors, Suvangjaya, a lot. So their society has a lot of fun, and they can do a lot of things. And the president and Sui An, the deputy, they are very good, very sincere. Then those who help out also same like Mi Fong, they all, and many of the EXCO members. So when you have a group that is sincere, it will flourish. Understand? The only thing is some of the EXCO, they're not very serious into the Dhamma meditation and cultivation. If they go into it, I tell you, that center will be a fantastic center. But already very good. So I rejoice a lot, actually. That's why when they invite me back to talk, to give the talk, I knew the condition has arisen. So I told Sui An, no problem. They last minute cannot get a speaker. They call Sui An. Sui An checked whether they can bring me in or not. So they got nobody. So they say, okay. They don't even know who I am. So Sui An called me. He said, tomorrow you free? I say, why? He said, got to replace somebody to give a talk. Oh, okay, can. Because I no need to prepare. My talk all I don't prepare. I just reflect, contemplate on the heading, on the topic. And then after that, I will go. Then I just talk. So the first talk, I still remember, Brother Jim, the president, he personally come. He personally conduct the introduction. Then after he heard the talk, I think he must be quite interested. So he asked Lily to put me on the list of panel speakers. That's why now they call me almost every year. And it has been, I think, a number of years already. 2 or 3 years already, I think. 4 years already. Oh, so long. Yeah. Then after that, you all should thank Ing Bi and me for he come and request me to give meditation at Sui An's house Thursday class. That's how the group become what it is. Then just now, Sui An have a good suggestion, I think. He said, he and Yun Chan discuss, why not we make this retreat an annual affair? Do you all want it? Because I normally don't hold one, unless got condition. So if you want it, I don't mind. We can have it once a year. But like Sui An say, have it on a school holiday so that more can come. Because this place can cater for a lot of people. So it's up to you all. If there's condition, let's have it. Then we all should rejoice with the wholesomeness. Then have a sincere heart. A lot of things can happen. Okay, now we go into the Dhamma. Oh, we almost half an hour gone. Okay, turn, get this note. 34 Heart Sutta note. 34 Heart Sutta note. This one we go through quickly, because I presume you all must have read. Except maybe Mr. and Mrs. Kang who came late. They only got the note yesterday. The day we arrived. Okay. This is the 34th Heart Sutta note, meditation class by Brother Theo at Wu Ping Ching San. Verse for opening a sutta. This one is in the Heart Sutta, in the commentary by Master Xuan Hua. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it. And I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. This is a very important opening verse, Asana. Because really, what is written here, you may think is a bit far-stretched. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter, even in hundreds of millions of aeons. One aeon already so long, hundreds of millions of aeons. And this is precisely what it is. Because this is the unsurpassed, profound, wonderful Dhamma, understand? This is the most profound so far, the Heart Sutta. That's why this sutta is very difficult to understand. And very few people can really teach or share with you the understanding. Because it is so profound. So, Heart Sutta, as you know, they start with the opening statement. The five aggregates are empty, understand? Then they even tell you, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Now you understand why form is unreal, isn't it? Because it's empty, understand? How do you perceive that form? Through your mental image, your consciousness. And they are all just an image, as a condition arising through your seeing consciousness, as a externally also condition arising. That's why there is no permanent unchanging entity, no reality. All are phenomena and things are like that. So if you understand that, you can awaken straight away. So that's why Heart Sutta is very powerful. 色就是心，心就是色，是吧？ Form is emptiness, emptiness is form. That's why at the end they always say, true emptiness is wonderful existence. Means what? When you have penetrated and realized true emptiness, then you become like mastery, understand? Then you know how to live. That's why existence or life become wonderful, so meaningful. Not like what Buddhists used to tell themselves. Oh, Buddha said life is suffering. Where got such thing? There is a noble truth that talk about suffering. Yes, prevalence of suffering. But he never tell you life is suffering. Otherwise, how can he teach you to be enlightened? How can he teach you the third noble truth, that there is a noble truth that talk about the cessation of all suffering, which is the realization of Nibbana, enlightenment. Okay, so now you understand. So we go on. Reciting the above opening verse with sincerity and faith is very important, because it reminds us clearly of the following. Rare is the birth as a human being. Rare is the opportunity of hearing the Dhamma. Dangerous is the delusion of the mind. Agree on that? Especially the third one, delusion of the mind. This first two in Mandarin is very meaningful. You know what was the Mandarin verse or not? Ren sheng nan de, bo bao nan wen. You understand? Those who know Mandarin, they will appreciate. Ren sheng, to be born as a human being. Nan de, you know how difficult, not? A lot of you will not agree with what the Buddha write on. He say, "Very God, I want to have a human being, just get married, give birth, so easy, or very God, so difficult." But you don't understand the deep meaning. I read to you the analogy, you will know. We are the analogy of the turtle egg in the great ocean. In the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, you know what is Mahaparinibbana Sutta? The sutta before he died, before the Buddha passed away, the last 3 months. Because 90 days before he passed away, he told Ananda, 3 months from now, I will realize, I will come to pass. I will go through Parinibbana. Parinibbana is another way to express the death of an arahant or an enlightened being. They don't die, actually. They parinibbana, understand? They realize nibbana. They cease, just like that. The Buddha used the metaphor of a blind turtle in the vast ocean. Someone is a blind turtle, cannot see you. To explain how difficult is it to be reborn as a human being, and at the same time to have the chance of hearing the Dhamma. Suppose there is a turtle floating in the vast ocean. The turtle egg has a hole, the size of which is just slightly larger than the head of a turtle to pop into. There is a long-lived sea turtle in the ocean, the blind turtle. Once every 100 years, this turtle comes up from the bottom of the ocean and pops his head into the ocean surface. And the probability of it hitting the hole of the turtle egg is the probability of being born as a human being and to hear the Buddha Dharma. That is, to be able to be born as a human being and have the chance to hear the Dhamma is just as hard as this blind turtle to encounter the turtle's egg in the vast ocean and let this egg go through the hole of this turtle egg. Therefore, do not be heedless anymore, so that you will not lose sight of this great opportunity of already have the special condition to be a human being and the great condition to hear the Dhamma, yet not taking it seriously to diligently cultivate, to awaken to it, is going to be a real waste. That's why for those who know, actually you are so fortunate to be born a human being and to have the condition to hear the Dhamma. So rare, And yet you don't know how to make use of this opportunity. I used to tell a lot of these people, you miss this window, you know what happened? It will be a very, very long time before you can encounter this condition again. Do you know that? So, do what you have to do. Develop your faith, your sincerity, make aspiration. Without aspiration, without the sincerity, very difficult. If you already make it, then well and good. If you can make use of this condition to fulfill a very strong base, then you are safe. Otherwise, it's a waste. It's really a waste. So, your life, you decide. I can only share with you what I know. Okay, the next one is, somebody asked the question, what is heedfulness or apamada? So the answer is, the importance of heedfulness is clearly expounded by the Buddha via his Dhammapada, verse 21, 22, and 23. The Buddha said under Dhammapada, verse 21, this one is like Joy say, I always repeat and repeat and repeat. But because you never wake up, if I don't repeat, you heedless again. The Buddha always say, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, and the heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead, and the heedless are as if dead. So do not be heedless, and strive on with heedfulness always. You better heed this advice. Otherwise, I tell you, spiritually you are as if dead. You got no more, not to say no more. Now, this life, you are heedless. You don't have a spiritual life. You are spiritually as if dead. Understand? Means no chance for enlightenment. But if you are heedful, you decide to be heedful, then you can realize the enlightenment, the deathless. Apamada is a silent mind in heedfulness. Silent mind is sati, mindfulness. So I read again, you listen. This is a very clear definition. Apamada or heedfulness is the silent mind in heedfulness. Attentiveness, alertness, non-laxity. Laxity is laziness. Diligent and vigilant to develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha to liberate the mind. Apamada or heedfulness is the cornerstone of all skillful mental states. See, this is the most important. You will know why, because the Buddha explained it. And it is of such importance that the Buddha stressed it in his parting word or his last exhortation. Transient are all conditioned things and phenomena. Strive on with heedfulness. Apamadena sampadeta. Before he died, he told the monk. This is the message. Strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless. Below is the Apamada Sutta that the Buddha spoke. The Sutta on heedfulness. At Savati, as he was sitting on one side, to one side, King Pasyonandi of Kosala said to the Blessed One, "Is there, Lord, any one quality that keeps both kinds of benefits secure? Benefit in this life and benefit in lives to come." The Buddha answered, "There is one quality, great king, that keeps both kinds of benefits secure. Benefit in this life and benefit in lives to come. But what, Lord, is that one quality?" That's like King Pasyonandi want to know. The Buddha replied, "It is heedfulness." See? Great king, just as the footprint of all living beings with legs can be encompassed by the footprint of the elephant, and the elephant's footprint is declared to be supreme among them in terms of its size, in the same way, heedfulness is the one quality that keeps both kinds of benefits secure. Benefit in this life and benefit in life to come. Understand not? Without heedfulness, you cannot develop the wisdom to become enlightened. And you don't understand life. You don't know how to live. That's why you will not have the benefits of the noble life. Understand not? Noble life in the here and the now and noble life in life to come. This is what the Blessed One said. Having said that, the one well gone, the teacher, said further, "For one who desires long life, health, beauty, heaven, and noble birth," see, noble birth, "lavish delight, one after another, the wise praise heedfulness in performing deeds of merit." See, you want to have all these fantastic things. The Buddha never say cannot enjoy, cannot have the good food, all these good things. No, you can have, but don't attach. So this is how you do it. Using heedfulness, perform deeds of merits. Understand? Which means with heedfulness, develop the wisdom. Then you know how to perform all these merits. Understand? True merit, pure merit, without evil root. Without selfishness, without even the subtle desire for merits and all those things. Understand not? So you do that, whatever you want, you can get. Understand not? When heedful and wise, you achieve both kinds of benefit. Benefit in this life and benefit in life to come. By breaking through to your benefit, you are called enlightened and wise. Do you want to be like that? So that you can live the noble life. That's why this is very important. Otherwise you ask yourself, come here to suffer. Is it worthwhile? You come here, don't understand life, don't know how to live. You worry about life and you suffer so much. Then what is life? You might as well don't come. So that's why be heedful. Make haste. In cultivating the heedfulness. Actually, very simple. Just be heedful. The heedful will never die. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. You sure destined for enlightenment. So train your mind to be heedful. That is the first step. And that is the most important step. We read on. "To be mindful or in sati is to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness or attentiveness without thought." Understand not? That's why when you're silent, you're already aware. Don't try to be aware. Understand not? "To be heedful is to be aware or mindful before the knowing, to understand the truth or to see things as they are. When the mind is silent, mindful, attentive, without thought, then it is in sati. The silent mind in the awareness to cultivate the Buddha Dharma, to develop the wisdom or panya, is heedfulness. So now the definition is very clear. The opposite of heedfulness is heedlessness. And when one is heedless, they are hardly aware and only merely conscious of life. See? You existed through life. Because they are too busy and heedlessly thinking, planning and worrying about life. So much so they totally miss out on life. They never really live because they are so preoccupied with their thinking or thought process, hence heedlessness. We are constantly lost in thought most of the time and throughout the day. So now you know what is happening to most human beings. Huh? Heedful living allows us to be ever mindful of all our mental intention behind all our actions, speech and thought. And this will enable us to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path factor of right speech, right action and right thought. We are following the advice of the Buddha to apply the appropriate four right effort to avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind. So now you understand why you need heedfulness. Otherwise you cannot see the mental intention. Heedfulness will prevent us from being heedless throughout the day so that the five hindrances of mind can be overcome and finally eradicated. Without heedfulness, you cannot eradicate. With heedfulness, you can cultivate the five spiritual faculty to overcome the hindrance. So this is the meaning. So heedfulness will also enable us to trace the origination factor of the five mental hindrance of mind. The three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion when they arise upon one's reaction of mind to sense experience. Understanding how they arise via wisdom, we will be able to later retrospectively reverse it, like I explained yesterday. With heedfulness, we will be able to put the teaching of the Buddha to test and witness the Four Noble Truths, the law of dependent origination of dwelling, occurring within our form and mind with every moment of sense experience or mental activity. Heedfulness will also enable us to see things as they are via our sati and samadhi, leading to the wisdom and or panya. When one is heedful and mindful with inner awareness most of the time, one can see everything very clearly because the silent mind is not distracted by anything and it is not preoccupied or clouded by any heedless thinking. So it can see things as they are. It can be aware of thoughts, mental intention, emotion, fear, etc. It can also be aware of all movement, like the moving car, or our physical action and movement, etc. When mindfulness stabilizes, it will develop into a continuous flow. Then your seeing or awareness will be so different, because it can be aware of all of life's physical, mental and nature's flow. The mind is just silent and aware. The mind is just silent and aware. One with all phenomena, without thought, and always heedful. Now you understand how to do contemplation, how to be aware and how to be mindful. When one's mind is no longer preoccupied with all the heedless thinking, then there is great clarity. Correct or not? Otherwise, how can you have clarity? You are so worried about what you think, and the thought cloud your nature. And you are so preoccupied with that thought and sense experience. And your views and opinion condition you to react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Then this great clarity... The mind is just silent and aware, one with all phenomena, without thought and always heedful. When one's mind is no longer preoccupied with all the heedless thinking, then there is great clarity, and one can see so clearly. Just like the saying goes, truth is everywhere, why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. That's why after that 1989, I realized everywhere, you know, the characteristic of nature, every moment, every instant, they are there. You know. Then sometimes I ask, how come living being cannot see? Because it's like that, you are not heedful, you are not silent. Then like I told you, when the mundane mind collapsed, everything I see was so different. You know? Remember I told you? You know why or not? Actually, everything I see is still the same thing. You know? But last time there is this mundane mind to cloud on the cell. You know? There is no clarity. You know? Once that one collapses, the nature awareness just come out. You know? That super mundane mind just come out. You know? Then not only you see things as they are, that whole perception is so different because it's not an image thought, you know, understand? It is the arupa thought, the formless thought, no image on. That's why I check inside like nothing, nothing at all. The mind at first I don't know how to use, but it's so fine, like no mind inside there at all. That's why I say you all with the mundane mind, very easy to be mindful and do all those things. But this super mundane mind, true mind, there is nothing inside there. What is there to be mindful? That's why it's just aware. But sometimes I sit and I walk because I want to show you all how to do one. So, no, I don't need to do anything already. Actually, I can go and sleep actually. But I need to sit here and do something or to give you all the confidence and understand how it can be done. And sometimes I walk around because I want to see how you all develop the cultivation. So as I move around, I will know who is sincere, who is not so sincere, and who is trying very hard and cannot break through. But for me, it's like that. I will not go and talk to you and wake you up. Cannot. You must ask questions or you must come and see me. Otherwise, this one not like normal people. He cannot say, "Wow, this guy worked, trained so hard. Pity him." No such thing. No condition. No matter what happened, also same. But if you really sincere, diligent, then the condition there, he will send the pure wish. That's it. Understand? But whether that pure wish manifests now or eons later, I don't know. So if you are sincere, then you have the roots and the past condition, then it can manifest very fast, sometimes immediate. Most of the time, when there is condition, immediate, it just happens. Whatever it is, this is nature's law, understand not? Nothing to do with me, I got no psychic. I cannot do anything, I cannot read mind. Forget about coming to see me on all those things. I cannot heal people, I cannot heal anybody, but I can share with you the secret, the Dhamma, so that you heal yourself. Your life, you decide. I don't interfere, understand? I cannot do anything for you. Like the Buddha said, he can only show you the way, the path. You have to walk yourself, you have to awaken yourself. That's why wisdom cannot be taught, understand? You can be guided. Understand? He can train you to do it, but you have to do it yourself. Like eating, huh? How can I eat for you, Karana? If I eat for you, you're still hungry, Karana. You have to eat yourself. 个人吃饭，个人饱. I learned this from Master Sun Hua, 1986, 21 years ago, when I listened to his Dhamma. He is very good. I remember this quote. You try to tell me whether you understand. Fo jiu shi xing, xing jiu shi fo. Wu hui xing, wu hui fo. You understand? Those who don't know Mandarin, I translate a little bit. But the translation come out so different, the meaning. Fo jiu shi xing, Buddha is mind. Xing jiu shi fo, mind is Buddha. Wu hui xing, wu hui fo. You don't understand the mind, you don't understand who the Buddha is. Wow, it was so profound. You know. The moment I hear, I like a lot of joy inside. You know. I immediately like understood what was spoken. You know. Can you understand? What is the meaning? For what you see, it's Buddha mind. He is talking about two types of mind. You know. One is the true mind. You know. The Buddha is the oneness, understand? The true mind. You know. So, sing Joseph for. So, if you understand the mind, you will connect and link to the oneness. Then this become the oneness nature. That's why sing Joseph for. For Joseph sing. So, that is the first meaning, understand? So when you talk about the Buddha, he's not a person, you know. The Buddha is the embodiment of his wisdom, virtue, and perfection that he cultivated and he inherited through the what they call spiritual nature. As a living being, you normally got only one nature that is predominant. You know what, Donna? What nature is that? You are born of it. What is it? Karmic nature. So you only got that. Because you never cultivate. So this spiritual nature is your cultivation. Nature's law is very fair. Every life you cultivate after you perfect, it will go to the spiritual nature. But this spiritual nature is very funny. You know? It's not like karma, no. Born of karma, head of karma, conditions, about, you know, it doesn't work like that. This spiritual nature, the form and mind must connect to that nature. And then only that thing can come. Understand? Like water. You don't have the pipe to connect to the tank. No water come. Understand? This water may be yours, inherited. But no pipe. No media to connect. That's why you must meditate and cultivate. Then you connect. The silence in your mind connect. You can only connect when the condition arising mind, mundane mind, the false mind, the condition arising thinking mind, when that one is silent. Understand? If that one is not silent, you will be lost there. You will be caught there. That's why you will grasp and cling. Understand? That's why the Buddha always tell you this five aggregate of form and mind, the mundane mind, the condition arising mind, is not you. The five aggregate are empty, the Heart Sutta say. The Buddha say they are impermanent. They are empty and non-self. So wake up to this. Then you will understand, this condition arising mind, the aggregate, rupa vedana sanya sankara vijnanam, or form. Physical and mental form, the feeling aggregate, the perception of cognitive aggregate, the mental activity or thinking and emotion and your mental states aggregate, and the consciousness aggregate, they are all conditioned arising, impermanent. Grasp and cling, suffering is the result. Give meaning, suffering is the result. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can say, this is me, this is I, this can be mine. So that's why it is anatta, empty, non-self. So these three universal characters is the most powerful, and he is the only teacher who teach this with the penetrative insight to develop the wisdom so that you are not deluded. I have not found it in any other teaching. The universal characteristic is common to all phenomena. That's why his unique teaching is anicchang dukkang anatta. That's why you chant rupang anicchang, rupang anatta. The first time I heard this in Thailand 20 years ago, my heart just opened up. It's just like I understood this so clearly. You know how it happened or not? When I was contemplating the Dhamma, or when I traveling, everything I come to perceive, even a plant, a tree, a building or what, I just look straight away, rupang anichang. I straight away know one very clearly, why is it impermanent, how the condition arising, then how through the perception we come to know this thing. That's why after that I can understand why the Buddha used the bullock cart analogy. The bullock cart analogy is the most easy to understand and the most powerful. You remember? The bullock cart. The Buddha asked the monk, what do you see? Oh, they say bullock cart. Real or not? Oh, real, very real. Okay, he said, call a few monks, take the axle, take the wheel, take all the carriage apart, put it on the floor. What do you see? Nothing. Then the Buddha said, okay, go back, assemble back. Hey, block cut arise again. What do you see? Oh, block cut. So the Buddha said, when the parts come together, it perform a function. You give it a name and a concept. You call it block cut. Understand? Arise already, exists already. So how does it come about? The condition behind is arising, all the parts put together, understand? That's why your this 32 part is the same, understand? People go and do contemplation in a different way. Of course, it has its purpose also. He said this 32 part is very filthy, very foul and all that. But actually the deep meaning is, these are the 32 parts when they come together and perform a function of a human body, then this human body arise, understand? Exists. When the part fail or disperse, gone, understand? So it's like the bullocka. Then the Buddha said, how do you know it's a bullocka? Then the monk, they all know, because they know the six sandal. They say, through perception. So what is perception? Seeing consciousness. It's just a consciousness. Then, if you know physics, through your eye, laterally inverted, your brain make it upright. There's an image here. You don't believe me, you go and develop your mindfulness until very, very stable. During the early day when I was cultivating, I think about 30 years ago, I was so mindful. Even when I sleep, the mindfulness went in, the awareness went in. That's why the subconscious or whatever they create, I will know. Then suddenly I saw this image here, inside. Laterally inverted, but the brain make it upright. Every time I see the image, then only I see outside. I say, how come like that? Then I realize, this is what I see, in the mind. Then the eye is actually the external consciousness only, understand? So the brain recognizes this image. That's why I know it's just an image, understand? Externally already not real, condition arising. How do you come to know? Through your mental perception. It's just an image, even more unreal, isn't it? Then you ask yourself one question, why are you so stupid, so gullibly cling on to it, hold on to it, and give so much meaning to it? That's why I say form is empty, form is unreal. People cannot understand. People use logic. Everything so solid. Why you say unreal, brother? It is so real to me. Of course. Mundane seeing is very real. Then now after I have gone through the whole thing, like I have mastery, real. Because to you it's so real. So when I say body not you, you say cannot be. Why not me? You. Go and hold on to it, love it. Not to say you don't take care of it. You take care of it, but you don't attach and cling and deludedly think it's you, understand not? Because you need this body to live, understand not? This is the vehicle that allow you to move and experience the consciousness through the senses, understand not? It's like your car, understand? You have to take care, understand not? If you take care, it will last you longer, understand? Then you can use it for longer period, understand? Then you have less problem, isn't it? So if you don't take care, like anything, it will break down very fast. So human body is the same. Okay, we go on. Truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. That is, when one is heedful, there is no thought. Only the senses are aware. So a lot of clarity. Understand or not? Your senses are aware, like I told you. When you're aware, consciousness can arise in any of the six sense doors. Understand or not? That's why you are like the oneness. But the moment you're conscious of seeing, you already zero down your awareness to that seeing. Then you move the thought, we're still trapped in that small flaw. Understand or not? That's why thought is limited. The whole consciousness shrinks to that perception. Then you start to think and give meaning to the small flaw. Like the Zen analogy. The wave come to the shore, you remember? The small wave make a lot of noise, complain. This big wave bully us. We down here playing so happy. Suddenly the big wave comes, splash into everybody. The small wave get affected. You complain. Isn't it? Then one day, one of the small wave who got wisdom, he say, no, big wave is also water. We also water. There is no big and no small. We are the same. Oh, they're happy already, play together. So, you are like that small wave, that thought. Then you complain. You react. We are this egoic. You separate yourself from the true nature, from the oneness. You think you are individual. Oh, you are very great. So this is what Dhamma is. So everything is so clear. Without thought, there is no evil root. True or not? There is no fear, no selfishness, no emotional negativity, no evil root. So develop the silent mind with inner awareness to be heedful always. For more detail on heedfulness, please refer to the record of the talk. But in the talk, I spoke a lot more. But this is just a summary, but the essential summary. Okay, the next one, meditator will like. This is a very common problem. How to overcome anger, somebody asked. When there is anger arising, just be aware, don't think. Then silence your mind and sit back to relax. After a while, the agitation due to the stirring of the mind into anger via your heedfulness and delusion, via your heedlessness and delusion will start to slow down. Then suddenly it will become completely still. Then you will come to understand with joy clearly that if you don't react to stir the mind further, then you are in your original natural state of stillness, which is peace and calm before the stirring. Analogy of a pool of still water will help illustrate the point. If stirred by a falling branch or a stone thrown into it, the ripple will start to form grana. Ripple is like your mind stir and it's not affected. Wind and weather may also create wave, just like fear and anger. Understand not the analogy? The wind and the weather, they are like your anger and your fear. Understand? They will cause wave to arise. When you are angry, it stirs more violently, appearing in the mind due to external stimulus. So now you know, your mind is actually like a pool of still water. Before any sense data or sense stimulant come in, like a stone drop into the water, the ripple, your mind starts to like vibrate, or the branch, or something pass by, boat or what, with a propeller. Then the weather, weather is like emotion, fear, worry, anxiety, and all those things. So this is how your mind become lack of peace, because there are so many sense stimulant from your six sense door keep on coming. The most powerful are seeing, hearing and thinking. If you think a lot without knowing what thought is, and you think a lot in the heedlessness, you are going to be miserable. A lot of suffering. That's why people get cuckoo, depressed, and become very miserable, suffer a lot, because that thought keep on deluding them and haunting them. A mind that is heedful, wise, and constantly aware will not be stirred by any delusion. Hence, it will be very calm and peaceful always. As habitual tendencies developed over the years are difficult to eradicate or do away with, one will need to be heedful most of the time throughout their daily life to stabilize their wisdom to deal with strong habitual tendency or negative tendency. When the spiritual faculty of samadhi and the enlightenment factor of equanimity are there, then one will no longer be entangled. The mind that is transformed will not react anymore, and instead it will just flow and accord with wisdom. Understand? When you flow and accord, no more problem. When you try to share and there is no condition, then, when you try to share and there is no condition, then others want to argue and want to be right. You will say, yes, you are right. And let them be right, because they don't understand duality as yet. So just let things be. One must ask the question, right according to whom? And why must one defend oneself? It is because of what? You don't have ego, why you want to be right? Because right according to you, I didn't lie. A lot of people are very funny. They say, hey, brother, like that you lie, you know. I where got lie? Right according to him. Understand? No? You say he is right, he's wrong. Wrong according to you. No? He is what he is. Understand? No right, no wrong. So when you accept them for what they are, you accept, you accord, you flow. Understand? No? Because he's not in a position, there's no condition to understand. Why you want to go and try to be right? You end up what? Argue with him, understand? Form of mind, argue with another form of mind. Even if you win, so what? You become more egoic. So this is how you can deal with delusion. It is because of ego, the self-delusion, that condition one's selfishness, emotional negativity, and fear. Understand that things are just the way they are, no right, no wrong. We are seeing things as they are. Grasping and clinging to sense experience via delusion is the cause of suffering. This is the final summary of the First Noble Truth. Only wisdom free or liberates the mind, nothing else. Always remember this. With wisdom, one will be able to understand and appreciate life more and more. Understand not? Learn to appreciate life more and more. Not only life. Appreciate what people have done for you, your loved ones, understand? Your parents, how they sacrifice for you, how they care for you, how they provide you with all the necessity of life, how they support you through your childhood, your education and all those things. Appreciate, have gratitude. Then the love will be there, understand? Then the bond will be there. Then the family unit will be beautiful. Understand? Even whatever your children do for you, appreciate. Tell them, thank you so much, boy. Mom really very happy today. I tell you, you will change them. Because every day they see you, either you scold them or you nag them. Or complain about them. Every time come back. Why you like that? Told you not to go out late, not to drink, not to mix with this girl. You always do that. But Joyce will not do that because she herself night bird people. She herself say, you want to go? Go lah. But sometimes, So this is life. This is how Dhamma can help you. Okay, any question? Useful or not? Ah, it'll be yes. The part on Wu Hui Xing Ji Wu Hui Fo, understand? Huh? You see, if you don't understand what is this mind, how can you understand who the Buddha is? Because you must understand the mind like I explained to you. Means you must be connected and become enlightened, understand? Huh? Otherwise, how can you know who the Buddha is, understand? Huh? That nature is. So, when you know that the mind got two parts, the true mind, which is pure awareness, essence of mind. And the other one is the condition arising one, the mundane mind, the thinking mind. Then after that, you must realize the enlightenment. Means what? The mundane mind must cease. Then this true mind also cease. Means the awareness also gone. No. Pure awareness also no more. And then only realize Nibbana. You remember yesterday, the human being, the chat? You have the source, Nibbana, oneness. Then only the true mind. True mind is the primordial manifestation, the essence of mind, the pure awareness. Understand? That one only aware cannot come out. Understand? That is the first stage from the source, the first primordial creation. Understand? Not complicated by thought yet, no thought yet, nothing, just aware. Understand? But that one, not you, cannot come out and live. So when you want to live, you need a vehicle. That's why you need the karmic nature to condition a form and mind, a living being, a body and a consciousness for you to use to live, to come into this world, this universe, this existence. And I tell you, this one nobody teach you. Even textbook never write. They only tell you non-self. Finish. That's a, yeah. That's why they cannot explain to you the real anatta. They only say, not you lah. What is the meaning of not me? Some even teach more funny. You don't go and believe that there is a personality, there is an ego. Don't go and believe. Means what? You use your thought not to believe. Means you haven't really understood what it is. Actually, they dare not say this is not you. No. They say, the mind, you know, the mind is, you don't take everything like personally, you know. But actually this is not you, understand, the form and the mind. But they dare not tell you, because the textbook never write. Nobody write like that. But you meditate, you will know what this fellow is, understand. And the Heart Sutta, everything point towards the same answer. But people don't know how to understand it anymore. Yeah, it has been lost. You know why? During the Buddha's time, there is no writing, no words. So no words means what? They communicate through speech. Understand? It's just like the Buddha, where he is enlightened, fully enlightened, so wise. So what he do? He explained this, like I repeat so many times. Only how many years? 8 years. The Buddha teach for 45 years now. You know how long he repeat. And there is no writing. No. Everywhere he go, he repeat. And you know why? Because when he repeat, the disciple understand him. No. It's just like now I talk to you, those who have followed me. When I talk about the five grade, you can relate very far. You ask the new people. They only know the words. No, but they cannot understand what I say when I tell you. Precisely the same. So when the Buddha speak without the word, people already understood. No. But as it passed down, what happened? Just like a message I give to you. You pass to my friend. Then you cannot find him. You pass to another friend, another friend, another friend. Then the 10 fellow reach the true friend. You know what happened to the message? Totally haywire. This is what happened to the Dhamma. The words are still there, because they chant. They repeat and they chant. Like, Sabbe Sankara Anichang, the, what they call, all the Sutta, they are still there. The Theravada one is very accurate, very authentic. But interpretation is the problem. Because that time until now, The one that have understood already died. So what happened? He passed it on to the disciple. This disciple, let's say, very good, get 90%. He passed on to the next one. As long as he reached one fellow not so good, drop to 50% of his 90%. Then this 50% interpret the other 50% wrongly and pass it down. You know what it will be. Then Theravada is very conservative. You know. They call it the orthodox tradition. No? So conservative got pro and con. You know, no? Pro means what? Whatever they're not sure, they take it out. Understand? So what is left is very authentic. But the teaching is very little. Understand? Then what is happening is the other point, which is very bad. Whatever they cannot understand, they're not sure, they also take it out. Understand? So they only repeat what has been repeated. Understand? Commonly accepted. Understand? That is how it becomes today. Understand? Nobody dare to vary from what is popularly accepted, except the true cultivator. That's why you dare not say, last time I don't want to come out and teach. Do you know why? I told you all that. Well, what I understand is the total opposite of what is being practiced and learned outside. Understand? It's the total reverse. Oh. What you think is logical and true is all the balik. Oh. So how to come out and share? Just like the Buddha, after he became enlightened, he just sat there. No? He doesn't want to teach. No? You know why? He said what he has realized is so beautiful and so profound, totally opposite of the world. How to teach? Luckily, the what they call this, what is his name? That Brahma, what is his name? Sahampati. He came down and talked to the Buddha. There are some with little dust that can understand you. He asked him to teach. He said, you should teach. Then the Buddha reflected and said, oh yeah, what you say is true. The two teachers that taught him, these two is still alive, very easy to teach. Because their mind already have the concentration. But you know why? One died 1 week ago, and one died 1 day before. You know why or not? They must die before the Buddha become fully enlightened. Because they go and make this vow and aspiration. They think what they have cultivated, the 7 jhana and the 8 jhana, the formless rhyme jhana, is the ultimate. It's like this is what they want. So their vow is so strong. Understand? That's why a lot of people cannot understand. They say, how come the Buddha takes 6 years, you know, to become enlightened. Correct or not? Sariputta, 2 weeks enlightened, arahant. So, then some, 1 week. Why the Buddha take 6 years? They go and think like that. No? Means Buddha not as wise. You know, that's why you don't understand nature's law. Everything is condition arising. You are not alone. Understand not? Other people make aspiration and vow also sincerely and powerful, that will be the deciding factor, understand not? You know the other factor that caused him to be 6 years later is what not? Sujata, the one that offered the milk rice, because she vowed to offer to a bodhisattva before he become a Sammasambuddha, and that vow is so sincere and so strong. That's why you got to wait till the timing is right when she come and offer, then only he sat underneath the Bodhi tree, then only he became fully enlightened. The other two conditions is the teacher. If he has become enlightened, that vow will not manifest. The vow made by the two teachers will not manifest. Understand? So because their vows are so strong and so heavy, they must die before he become fully enlightened. That's why the wise man, one of them that came, Asita, you remember? When the king asked him to check this newborn baby, the Bodhisattva Siddhartha. You know what Siddhartha did, you know, the baby boy? He put the leg in front of him. The king was so offended, no, wanted to apologize and pay respect. No. But Asita, the wise one, knew, no, he is worthy of it. Because he knew he's going to be the Buddha. But he said, like he not happy, you know. the king thought something wrong. He said, no, 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 nothing to do with your son. The only thing why I sigh is, you know why not? I'm going to die before he become a Buddha. Understand? Yeah, he knew he is going to be the Buddha, but he is only going to be the Buddha after he dies. So that's why he say like, "Tai Lak Tou Sik Bo." You have it in front of you, you know? Just like somebody told me, the abalone, you know abalone, pao yi, in front of the mouth. You know? Cannot eat, you know? Before you eat, gone. Something like that. So that's why you don't take for granted, understand? If you don't make the aspiration, the vow, that's why you take refuge. Otherwise, the Buddha come, you make aspiration to be born during the Buddha's time. Yeah, you will be born. But Buddha, before he become enlightened, you die. Then one of my students, Lucky Best, he said, "But your next time make vow, must be very careful." You know? He said, "We simply make vow to be born during the Buddha's time. Well, I gave them the energy. There was one merchant, you remember? After the Buddha became fully enlightened, he walked and looked for the five ascetic. And remember? The first person he met was who? There's a merchant, no? Quite a rich fellow. He saw the Buddha so serene. No? So he stopped the Buddha and said, "May I know who your teacher is? Because you look so serene." So the Buddha was very sincere. "I got no teacher." You know what this merchant think? Arrogant fellow. Then he look at him and he walk away. Wow, then this student of mine say, "Oh, you make aspiration to be born during the Buddha's time. Met the Buddha also cannot recognize." So now he make aspiration. He say, "Born during the Buddha's time, aspire to recognize and follow." Understand? That's why you become wiser and wiser. So, then you must make aspiration, born during the Buddha's time, not to die before the Buddha becomes enlightened. Understand? Recognize, but he died before the Buddha becomes enlightened. Just like Asita. Oh, can recognize. He is going to be the future Buddha. Understand? But die before he becomes fully enlightened. So all these aspirations you make, you must refine and purify. That's why the Buddha is the best. Sakyamuni is the best. You know what Sakyamuni did or not? A lot of Theravada complained to me. Why Mahayana got this Bodhisattva that vow, Amitabha that heavy vow that helped their cultivator? Theravada don't have one. Buddha just a human being, not even a god. I cannot even pray to him. How you answer this type of question? Very logical. But he never understand the Buddha's teaching. He asks you to take refuge, means what? Take refuge in all the Buddhas. No? He is better than Amitabha, they all know. You take refuge in all the Buddha, means what? Whichever Buddha also you have affinity, you will connect. No? Understand? No? Wherever there is the truth, the Dhamma taught by the Buddha, you will connect. No? All the Bodhisattva. Then wherever there is an enlightened disciple of all the Buddhas, not him, you also connect. That's why his refuge is very powerful. You connect everywhere. That's why I can understand Mahayana, I can understand Theravada, I can understand Krishnamurti. I don't say I aspire only for the Buddhist teaching. Then I limit myself. That's why I make aspiration for causes and conditions to realize the highest wisdom at any time when I'm born, whatever the civilization is. And this was my vow, very heavy from the past. I only came to know when my second last teacher, because he can read my one. He got the spiritual penetration. He can see your past and everything. That time I met her in 1987, I think. You know, he keep on asking me one question. No? "Do you know who are you or not?" I say, "I don't know." She asked me three times. No? "Do you know who are you or not?" I say, "I don't know." Then the third time he asked, Do you know who are you? I say, I don't know. Then after that, he keep quiet. She keep quiet. Then you know what she said. You came with a very, very heavy vow. The moment she said that, I say, I know what that vow is. Because this life, I also made the same vow. Huh. I know how to make that type of vow. Then after that, he later told me, you have been many, many lives in China. You have been monk before, many, many lives. You wear the type of, the China type of black robe. Oh. Then I also just ignore it because I know I got a lot of affinity with China. Must be something there. Yeah. Then one thing, funny thing is, when I went back to China, you remember I told you I went, there was one trip I went with my friend, I think. We went to this Shanghai, Jiangnan. You heard of Jiangnan? Yeah? Surrounding of Shanghai. There is one Hangzhou, yeah, you know. That temple, Han San Si, you all heard of? Very funny, you know. I when I went there, I don't even know what this Han San Si is all about. They just say Han San Si. Yeah, I go. The moment they reach that place, I say, how come so funny on this place? Like I am there before, no? Like this is my home, no? I have been here before, no? Then I went in, no? I didn't even know where that place is, no? Then when the Tao Yu explain the history behind us there. Then he talked about these two, no? He said, Han San Si De, the two brothers who started, this is the temple he was in, no? Well, then I start to connect, no? No wonder. You know this Han San is the commentator for this Surangama Sutta. No? And this Surangama Sutta, I read, I understand. No? And the funny thing is, when I was cultivating during the early day, that time I just graduated from the university, not long, I went to the library. You know what book I found? No? Autobiography of Han San. No? I just got attracted to that book. No? Then I bought and I took it home. I kept it. Then after I cultivate, after 1989, when I understood what this thing is, I start to read through the book again. No? Very funny, you know, this monk. Everything he do, like I do. Everything he say, I understand. He also say he got no psychic, he got nothing. He only know, he only have the true mind, he say. Zhenyan, awareness. And he can understand a lot of things on, but he got no psychic on. Yeah, how come so similar? I say, who is this guy? I don't even know him. But I go and buy his book. Then later on, 1999, I think, when I traveled to Shanghai, Jiangnan, I met at the temple. Then when he talked about this guy, I said, no wonder. It's like so familiar, like my home. No, I went back there. That's why it's so strange. Then many lives, that's why it must be because of that, I have a lot of affinity with Mahayana teaching. The Mahayana, I English educated or no? I don't know Mandarin or no. But the Mahayana teaching I can understand very easily. Like Master Xuan Hua, he speak in Mandarin or no? The China type one, very, very different type of slang one. And I can understand him one. So, these are the things, how you explain, unless it's the past, understand or not? That's why all this nature's law thing, you will come to understand. Then there was one day at Wu Ping Jing Se, I think Miss Lee there, they had this Choyat Sam, they got this ceremony, just like what you witnessed there, but theirs is a lot better. The Wu Ping Jing Se and the vibration is a lot better, I tell you. You go there and listen, very good. They were doing that Pa Si Pa Fo. I think it's the 88 Buddha. They were chanting that one. So that day, Miss Lee invited me there because of some occasion, I think. Don't know whether the Sufu's anniversary. So I went there. And you know what happened? I follow the chanting. They walk. Then they keep on chanting. So I follow. Then you know what happened? Sister Han was there. He was following behind me, because she did jhana, she can see things on. Suddenly, He come and see me after the thing. Virtue, you know what I saw now? He said, I saw you as you chant and walk. He used a Cantonese word. Like a gou zhang. You know what is gou zhang? High praise. The China type one. And beautiful, colorful. How you explain that? I say, you see means you affinity. You can see. Just like the massage girl. Suddenly appear for her to see. I say, you got affinity. You can see means you can see. That's why it manifests. But I didn't do anything. I can't even see. I also don't know. So I told her, good for you. Because if you can develop your faith, your sadha, make use of it. Understand? But don't go and tell people. Afterward, they think you are crazy already. Zao fo yam mo. Where got like that one? Fairy tale also not like that. That's why I told you my life, a lot of strange things you can never understand. And there is so much happening. That's why when you are in the spiritual field, spiritual realm, this is what you will encounter. It's totally the reverse. For normal living beings who don't have the affinity with the spiritual realm or spiritual field, to encounter a cultivator also very difficult, and you realize that. Not to say to encounter an enlightened one. But when you are in the spiritual field, you encounter so many until you also don't believe. Every time I go to China, I met a lot of these monks, very good monks. I see them, I know it. They're very mindful, and they are very different, and their energy very different. And they also know you. They also can sense you. They will just smile. Then they look at you. Very funny. And the weather, everything very good. Everywhere I go, like I can feel, you know, they rejoice, and they are very happy. And a lot of this trip, before I go, even Thailand, everywhere, it's like they are waiting for us to arrive. You know what, no? Then before you arrive, there was one place we went to Putosan. You know, before we go Putosan, there is a town. What is that town? What is that town? You all never go Putosan before? Ningpo. You heard of that town? I tell you, you don't believe. Our plane landed. Then after that, we went there. First day. The Taoyu that brought us there at first say, you all got to prepare in good everything. Has been raining like anything. I said, never mind. Then that day we reached the place before Ningpo. Was half a day. He took us. He said, you're very lucky. Today no rain, cloudy, just nice the weather. Then after that we went to this place, Ningpo, just before we go to Putosan. There is another tour guide. I don't want to call Taoyu after pronounced wrongly. That tour guide, you know what she did or not? She told us, you all must have raincoat. He called the other guy first. You know what happened or not? When she arrived, we arrived there, no rain, no. Then he said, you're very lucky. I said, why? He said, do you know, 6 days and 6 nights non-stop raining here, he said. 6 days and 6 nights. Non-stop raining. So she thought, sure rain one. Because there, the weather for that time, he said, is very bad. And even Putosan also, very stormy everything. That day we arrived, he brought us in to see the 500 Arahant everything. The weather was so cooling, so nice, so cloudy, just like here. Then she was very surprised. Oh, you're very lucky, no rain. Then he said, but you get your raincoat over. Because Putosan also rain like anything. He went over, no rain. Just slight drizzle, off and on, short one. You ask yourself, how come like that? Then when we were back to Shanghai, before we fly off, you know what happened? After we fly off, the newspaper monsoon hit the whole area. That night we still on the ship, on the Shanghai Tan, you know, the river cruise. The star, everything was so bright and so clear. Everybody was full of joy. Then there was so much of this ops. Then we had a good dinner. We went for the cruise. Then we went back. The moment we went back, the newspaper, the following day, splash. Typhoon hit Shanghai. and very bad weather. So a lot of these things is just nature's way of manifesting. But if you have the virtue, the cultivation, the Dhamma, you don't worry. Your virtue will protect you, like the Buddha said. And there are a lot of good beings, Dhamma protectors, very good, what they call Dhamma friends. They are there to protect you. That's why you feel like you are being protected somehow. I don't know why. Sometimes like you very lucky. A lot of incident, almost accident, one, no, cannot avoid one. No. Just miss. Just miss like that. Even in KLPJ also, sometimes the lorry, the bus, the way, cannot be on. Just miss like that. But you must have understanding, virtue. Otherwise, like very sui. You know what is sui? People call it bad luck. Nothing to do with luck. A lot of things are condition arising, following nature's law. Understand? Okay, we better finish off this one, because almost another 20 minutes to go. Okay, meditation. Part 3. During meditation, I heard and perceived the branches of the tree fall, and I returned to Anapanasati. But then the thoughts regarding the falling branch arise. May I have your comment? So the answer is, this is what you are supposed to see in your meditation, because there is this subtle grasping going on within your mind. Meditation is to uncover all this unhealthy delusion and unwholesome subtle attachment to what we perceive. So you realize a lot. Every time you perceive something, you give meaning, the thought come back to you. Understand? You try to think about that thing. Then you try to dialogue and chat inside. So you are supposed to see how your mind got distracted. Understand? So this unhealthy delusion that condition your heedless thinking. This is how you become heedless. What we perceive in every moment of our conscious sense experience via our trained mind in heedfulness or silent inner awareness to understand what is going on in our own form of mind. That is what meditation is. How we are conditioned into thinking and reaction of mind, like and dislike, via our own self-delusion of Sakkaya Ditthi. Why this thought arise and not other thoughts. And also to see clearly how we are conditioned into grasping and clinging, leading to the suffering by our own self-delusion, selfishness, emotional negativity, and these three evil roots, which are the roots of all evil. In this particular case, there is the curiosity of mind due to ignorance that conditions your grasping to what you perceive, which is the mental perception of the falling branch. This is attachment to one of the five aggregates of form and mind. And in this case, it's attachment to perception. Remember the Buddha said, if you attach to any of the five aggregates, it becomes grasping. Suffering is the result. Now, you identify in your meditation, what are the aggregates that you grasp onto? So in this case, it's perception of the falling branch. Understand now? Then what happened? So the first of the dependent origination link of avijja paccaya sankhara start. Understand? Dependent on ignorance, you start to think. Understand? Then what happened? Which is mental activity comes to be. Hence the thought or thinking about the falling branch. This is witnessing how your mind functions. And via all this heedfulness training, one will also witness all the Buddha's teaching like the Four Noble Truths, the other 12 links, etc., in one's own life experience via our daily mindfulness to understand what who you are and what you are, including how you function as a human being, how sense door consciousness and the stirring of the mind come to be, etc., to develop the requisite wisdom and understanding, leading to the subsequent awakening via insight into the three characteristics of nature. Anicang, Dukkang, Anatta, especially the Anatta, universal characteristic. For further detail, please listen to the recorded talk. Because in the explanation of the talk, I spoke in more detail. Okay, now you take hold of note 36, Heart Sutta. This one also on heedfulness and apamada. This one also very useful. I hope to able to go through. Then you also have the five daily contemplation behind, meditation question behind. Then you have the five hindrance, five spiritual faculty, all very nicely explained. Then you have the summary of cultivation. This one is very important. The summary of meditation. Train the mind to be heedful via puja or devotional practice or religious routine, daily religious routine will be useful. Then use the mind sweeping method and metta, combine with metta, then anapanasati. Then after anapanasati stabilized, mindfulness of the four posture, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment, or daily mindfulness and clear comprehension training. Once heedful, use the trained mind to cultivate the three turnings of the four noble truths and the four foundations of mindfulness. So this is what you should do. Then we try to read through certain part so that you understand. Okay, I will read page 1. So again, Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, repeat that. So this one no need to read. So heedfulness or apamada must be a part of you in order to realize the enlightenment. Otherwise you are as if dead. So continuous heedfulness is key or a prerequisite to develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha leading to the noble life. Without heedfulness, one is as if dead. That is, one will not have the spiritual life and hence cannot become enlightened. To develop the heedfulness needed to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, one must at least understand what is heedfulness and what is meditation as taught by the Buddha in order to start. It's just like you have a problem and you come to the meditation teacher and he said to you, just meditate, your problem will be solved. Is this going to be useful if you do not even want to find out what is your problem? How can you start solving your problem when you do not even know what is your problem? Correct? So when you meditate without understanding, it's like that. Same. So similarly with meditation, if you do not understand what is meditation, then how can you start developing it? Meditation and cultivation must be done with understanding so that one is not gullible. Understand? So the Heart Sutta 34 notes explain clearly what heedfulness and mindfulness is. So you have already gone through. So this will help you. As meditation is a very general word, it is important to understand the meditation as taught by the Buddha. The real meditation as taught by the Buddha is to develop the wisdom via insight into the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta, so as to be at peace with all situations, wherever you are. So that's why even when people are snoring, no problem. You don't perceive in negativity, then there is no problem. You just have to silence your mind. When you silent, everything goes in. Then there is harmony. Then the mind is peaceful. Okay, we go on. So as to be at peace with all situations, wherever you are. There is a name, they call it Upadhi Viveka. To do this, one must train one's mind to be silent anywhere within. This is the meditative silent mind without thought. To cultivate the Buddha Dharma, especially the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths and the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. Fully relaxed and aware to develop the wisdom born of direct seeing. The thought must not interfere. Always be clear about that. There is just clarity of mind leading to the awakening or insight into the three characteristics of nature. The mind that is liberated is so free. It understands that all of phenomena whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena are all empty and impermanent, because they are all condition arising or causal phenomena, not a permanent and changing entity, following nature's law, leading to deep penetrative wisdom. In cultivation, we should thank those who are not so friendly or constantly making things difficult for us, because they are the ones that can give us a condition to test our cultivation. Understand not? Try to test yourself when you are ready. That's why I came out to society. I came out to work in the private sector to find out whether I still affected or not. I purposely go and look for a career where I need to use my brain again. I need to be active again. I need to remember a lot of things again. That's how I able to confirm how I become stabilized. How all these things doesn't affect me anymore. When I came out to test myself, it was 1989. I was very comfortable with the statutory body. Then after that, I came and joined the private sector consultant. Then I joined a listed company. Then after that, I retired when my daughter graduated. So these are the things. So people whom you don't like or all those things, don't perceive them with negativity, because they are your, what they call, good knowing advisor. They actually indirectly train you, understand, advise you to cultivate, to be tested, understand. So if you pass, well and good. Otherwise, you cannot be tested. You never know. Hence, we should perceive them with wholesomeness and wisdom. We are accepting them as they are. That's how I came to know. Understand? Then expressing our gratitude towards them. No, I somehow thank them. Say, thank you so much. Sometimes no need to talk to them. You rejoice inside. Oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you for being like that, so that I can be tested. So, the more difficult, the better. Oh, that time very funny. I look for difficult people to talk to and meet up with. When I went for meeting, the architect very fierce. I laugh. I have a lot of gratitude towards you. I say, thank you, thank you. I say, keep on scolding me. Keep on saying all this thing. Then I just, with a very happy mind and a lot of joy, I just answer him. The way I answer him, he also get a shock. Because after that, he himself cannot corner back. The problem is your life, his company. You know, I know my things so clearly, so well. So finally, he pretend. He said, okay, can we talk this later? He said, I will discuss it personally with you. Wow, at first he taro my company, you know. Is it another new one? We have so many engineers go until they not go. Nobody there to go. They're meeting a high level one. And they always cannot fire you. He said, you cannot make decision. You don't have the capacity. Don't come for meeting. He said, this is not ordinary meeting. Then someone said, the architect like to impress the client at the expense of other consultants. The contractor also cannot anything. So mind that firm, because nobody there to go to the meeting. Every time kena. So the first time I went there, he asked me, who are you? I say, I'm new. I'm new. From where? When I mentioned my company, Kemasba, another new one. Then he immediately started to show. Then in the meeting, when he come to my turn one, wow, he very loud. Kemasba, where are you? Well, every time nobody answered. Then I just answer him very nicely. I say, yes, Mr. Ang, what can I do for you? Oh, then he look at me. Your item, what have you got to say? Then I look at you. It's nothing to do with us. I say, what you mean nothing to do with you? Contractor waiting for information, he say. Contractor say, not enough information. I say, not enough information is because your architectural drawing not out yet, I say. How can I produce my structural drawing when your architectural drawing not out yet? He said, what you mean now? You never read the instruction. I said, you send an SO instruction. No? He's the SO. No? Understand? No? Yeah? Supervising, superintending officer. So he's the chief consultant. Then he looked at the contractor. No? Got me? The contractor looked at him. No? Contractor. he pointed at the thing. Then he said, okay, I talk to you later. We discuss this separately. See, he tried to get out. Then later on, he come to know, actually, the client make amendment, no? The client make amendment to that layout. Yeah, the client wants something else. So this guy, the architect, don't have enough manpower to come up with the amendment now. And in the meeting, he thought he tai sai. He keep on taro kemas pakat. So everybody thought kemas pakat didn't give the amended structural drawing. So that was what happened. So when I pointed out to him, he very surprised. Okay, I call office. Oh, then the drummer, okay, sorry, I promise you, 3 days I give it to you. Before the next meeting, come out with the drawing. I say, this is only one small problem now. Do you know what is going to happen now? Because I climbed before, I'm very sharp on this one. I say, your amendment, shift your room everywhere. Do you know you violate Bomba approval or not? Because you're firefighting Bomba approval, there is a shortest distance to go out or not. You shift that thing there, you never check the fire requirement, you are going to be dead. Wow, he check, Next day he called me, Hey, dude, you are right, I say. What to do, Oh, I say, in a meeting, you tell the client. Then he was so worried, But the client wanted it that way, And we also didn't comment, We say can, So I say, you go and see DBKL, Bomba. So he go and talk to DBKL, building bylaw. Then Bomba. Then they talk. Then Bomba say, okay, you add this one, you add that one. Finally resolved. Then later on, I look at his drawing. I say, hey, your layout for your traffic flow. At first he thought traffic flow is mine, Because we all civil engineer. I say, your turning circle not enough. No. Bus cannot turn. No. The hotel, 5-star, bus cannot turn. He said, you civil engineer, what? Your job, what? I said, you architect, you draw. I follow your drawing. Wow, his face blush. Then after that, he very friendly to me. He said, do. Before meeting, you don't mind. I will come to your office, we discuss first. Don't bring up anything. End up like that. That's why it's very different, I tell you, very different. These are the things that can actually make a big difference to your life. Even no matter what type of job you are, how tough it is, it can be overcome. Oh, we still got half an hour. We're supposed to talk 11, yeah? Correct? Oh, good. I thought I had to finish already. Okay, we read on, No more story, Otherwise, I cannot finish. Okay, we are at the last paragraph, Oh, sorry, the second last paragraph, We haven't finished. Do not perceive any life situation with negativity, for the absence of negativity is good. So don't try to be good, because without wisdom, one can end up becoming just a good-hearted fool. Another reason is when you do good without understanding, we tend to do good according to our own views and opinion. And we never ask, good according to whom? Understand not? Your good may not be the good that other feel. So that is whatever that is good to you or for you may not be good for others because of selfishness. Understand? Good for me means what? I'm selfish. That's why I want things my way. Understand? So to me it's good for me. Just like you scold your child and force them to do things that they don't like. Mommy already told you, this is good for you. You must study engineering or medicine. Told you not to go out. This is good for you. But you never ask whose life is it. Their life, let them decide. Good according to you. Because you are the parent, you want to be a proud parent. So, kiasu. You know why kiasu? Other people's child also go piano, go what? I also might have child like that. They score so well, I also must send them for tuition. I also must give them all this. Oh, the child, no time to play. No time for their life. So they only follow mommy. Go piano class, go tuition. And I see the bag they carry, heavier than the student. You realize or not? The book that they carry is heavier than them. I saw my kid last time, the textbook. I got to buy a backpack. My son was so small when he was young. The backpack is bigger than him. Wow, I say, no need to bring so many. Then my son told me, he said, teacher scold, no, every subject different textbook. I said, no, my teacher scold, you say, daddy say. I say, so heavy you have to bring. I say, you only bring the essential. So this is what happened. Okay, we go on. The unenlightened one are so heedless, constantly chasing and clinging after so many things in life. They still grieve and worry about life, despite having so much thing and possession, for they lack contentment and wisdom to live life. See, contentment and wisdom is very much. If you are not contented, you always poor. You still want. You can be very wealthy, but you still want. That's why you are poor. If you are contented, you are very rich, very wealthy, because you don't need any more. Understand? Contentment can make you feel very good. Understand? When you are contented with life, contented with what you have, you can become very satisfied, very happy. Yeah? Without contentment, what will happen to you? You become unhappy, get angry, agitated, isn't it? Correct? That's why when you have contentment, you appreciate. You are contented with what you have. You have gratitude. You appreciate what you have. So contentment is a very good virtue, very good thought. So cultivate more and more of this. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, pleasantness, contentment, generosity, sincerity. And these are the good virtue. When you have this virtue, you have goodness. Because the virtue will make you good. Don't try to be good according to your views and opinion. Good based on the virtue. If you are sincere, you are automatically good. But if you are selfish, how can you be good? The selfishness will prevent you from becoming good. Understand not? So it's virtue that change you. Virtue is absence of evil. Understand not? That's why I always say absence of evil is good. When you don't have selfishness, you already good to a very large extent. When you don't simply get angry and become emotional and fearful, you are already good. Understand not? So to be good is very easy. Have wisdom. Understand what is virtue. Then naturally you will be good. Understand what is the evil root. Without evil, you are good. Okay? The first noble truth of dukkha that was expounded so clearly by the Buddha was the eight realities of life and existence needed to be. Sorry, I read again. This one, the paragraph facing is different. The first noble truth of dukkha that expounds so clearly the eight realities of life and existence need to be understood. Otherwise, they can really make human beings miserable. Without the true Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, suffering will be the final result. So strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless. Please listen to the recorded tape for more details. Then the next one is meditation. This one is a very good one. I think Andy asked this question. He said, while cultivating mindfulness in daily life, I was able to be mindful most of the time when I am going about living the normal life. But when confronted with work-related and personal problems, I find it very difficult to maintain heedfulness. And I realize that the same worry and fearful thought keep coming back to haunt me. How can I overcome this? This is a very good question. Yeah? Yeah? Human being always like that. When you got problem, you become restless. You worry about the problem. And so, like that day I say, yeah? It's like the red hot iron ball. When you hold, what happens? It burns and it torments you. Yeah? Then why you continue to hold? Human being's problem is, this is my problem, you know, Brother Theo. So what? Must hold, must grasp, must give a lot of meaning to project your fear, worry, anxiety. Problem is only a problem when you perceive it with negativity. So accept it as the reality of life and existence. One of the reality that the Buddha talked about. So what? Health problem. So what? Not you alone has health problem. Everybody who live long enough also have health problem as well. Career problem, only you. Everybody also have it there. So how do you make a difference to your life? You must have wisdom in there. So that when you confront all this reality, wisdom, you need not suffer. The only difference between a person who suffers and a person who don't suffer is the understanding of it. Understand? So when you understand means what? The so-called problem in inverted comma, you accept it for what it is. Means what? You don't react, don't get angry, don't become fearful. And then you act, understand not? And then you solve your problem. But here the question is about mindfulness, heedfulness. So if you understand, it is the same. When you solve that worry, that so-called problem, then to me, in life, you will never agree with this one. There is no such thing as a problem in life. How can Brother Theo? So much problem, you say no problem. To me, technically, there is no such thing as a problem in life. Problem is when you perceive it negativity. So if you perceive it wholesomeness, it becomes what? A blessing in disguise. Understand? If I have not get into this trouble or this so-called reality of life and existence, I will never take life seriously. Understand? I will never go for the answer. I will never encounter the teaching, the Dhamma, and I will not have this type of wisdom. Then it becomes blessing in disguise. And there are so many who finally told me, yeah, you're right, Brother. Now I'm a lot happier than before the problem. Before the problem, he already quite happy, but not so happy as now. Because when the problem hit, the whole life like gone. So unhappy, so depressed, suffer so much. But when he really understood the Dhamma and free from it, with that understanding, he realized they can understand life so much better. They can live life so much better. And they are so much more happier than them before. Understand? That is the power of Dhamma, beauty of Dhamma. Okay, we go to the answer. This is a very good question, yes. When there is no First Noble Truth reality to disturb us, cultivating heedfulness or mindfulness in daily life is fairly easy. The challenge is when one is confronted with the reality of birth, old age, sickness and death, threatened separation from loved one and one's possession, prized possession, etc., like work-related, career and personal health problem, relationship problem and financial problem. Can your mind still be peaceful and calm to cultivate the requisite heedfulness? This is most difficult, but can still be done if one has developed the appropriate wisdom to confront them with right understanding and wisdom. And the Buddha's advice is very simple. The five daily contemplation will solve your problem. Reason why the Buddha had constantly advised the monk to reflect on the five daily contemplation and to strive on with heedfulness to arise the much needed wisdom to overcome all this First Noble Truth reality, which is a universal problem common to all humanity. Understand now? You are not alone. That is, if you live long enough, you will have to confront them sooner or later. So the five daily contemplation is as below. Our body is of the nature to decay, grow old, and die. For he has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. Then the fourth one is, all of our loved ones, wealth, property, and other prized possessions, etc., which we held on to so dearly, they were also one day separate from us, or we were separate from them when our breath stopped. Then the last one is about law of karma. Each and every one of us, including all living beings, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So, understand not? When you reflect on all this, you can free your mind. The next one is, this is the great law of karma, and it also is the first right view that we must develop and have to begin with, to begin our cultivation. Since karma is so important, we must all take care of karma. That's why the Buddha advised, avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind, which are the advice of all the Buddha. Only then can we develop the strong karmic nature to bring about the good life every time we are born or we come or choose to come. Once the wisdom born of one's cultivation and above constant reflection and contemplation has stabilized, then all those earlier projections of thought that haunt you will have got no power over you now. Wrong thoughts are deluded thoughts that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, and misery or suffering. Via your attachment to this self-delusion or sakkayadity, the I and the me, hence the heedlessness. So ultimately, it is wisdom that really free and liberate one's mind. Job pressure, deadline, and target can be very stressful within the job and career environment. And if one had not developed the wisdom to confront them with understanding, it is not easy for most people to cope. The same goes with personal problem, health problem. So the Dhamma understanding to confront all these first noble true reality are very important. And this is the reason why the Buddha's final advice to all the monks before he passed away is to strive on with heedfulness to develop the requisite wisdom to liberate one's mind before you confront the first noble truth. Okay, this is clear. So the balance you read through is very easy to understand. Heedfulness or apamada equals to ever mindful, sati, plus to use it to cultivate the Dhamma. And the meditation is taught by the Buddha. So the first thing we must do when starting this meditation is to train our mind to be in sati. Or silent inner awareness. The moment you are silent, you are already in sati. To be ever mindful without thought, most of the time first. Then only use this trained mind in sati to meditate or cultivate the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. So you use it to be aware of your four posture and daily mindfulness. How do we train this mind? How do we train this mind to be mindful and aware most of the time? This is the question that people ask. First, we must understand why we are most of the time heedless and not mindful and peaceful. Correct? You must know. Otherwise, how to solve your problem? You don't go in gullibly. People say, focus on the breath, focus on the abdomen. You go and do all the funny things. You don't even know why you are not peaceful. So you must do with understanding. According to the Buddha, it is because of the five mental hindrances that condition our heedless thinking, thereby stirring our mind and hinders our mind from returning to its natural meditative state of inner peace and calmness before the stirring. Correct or not? Before you see something, hear something, or think of something you don't like, and you stir your mind into anger, you were peaceful and happy. Then you know this one is condition arising, not you. That's why you can get the answer to settle the problem. So the five mental hindrances, they are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, which is lethargic mind or sleepiness, restlessness of mind or agitated mind due to fear, worry, anxiety, and the last one is doubt. You're not sure, no confidence. These five mental hindrances condition your heedless thinking and your lack of peace and awareness. So you must reverse all this via cultivating the opposite five. What are they? Yeah? The spiritual faculty. What are the spiritual faculty? Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. So to cultivate the five spiritual faculty, the Buddha To cultivate these five spiritual faculty that the Buddha, the Buddha had recommended, or are recommending, anyway, the meaning is, to cultivate the five spiritual faculty the Buddha recommended, cancel the word are, the Buddha recommended, the pre and post puja or devotional practices. Of paying respect or homage to the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, the Triple Gem, and taking refuge in them, followed by the renewal of five precepts, chanting of various salutations to the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, which we have all done, the paying of respect and the taking of refuge, followed by the chanting of the various salutations, is to develop the faith, Saddha and Virya, spiritual faculty. Then the paying of respect or reverential salutation mindfully is to develop the composed mind to be mindful while paying the respect to the Buddha. So do not underestimate the importance of devotional practice of puja in the cultivation process. When sati is developed, samadhi will come to be. And with sati and samadhi, one will be able to have the clarity of mind to see things as they are without the interference of thought via sati. In direct seeing, hence awakening to the truth, leading to the wisdom. Then after that, how to decondition your heedless thinking? All explained here. Then to decondition the heedless thinking, we use the mind sweeping method as a skillful means to train our mind. To just relax, to feel and relax, no more thinking, as we sweep the mind through our body. This will allow the mind to naturally relax and calm down on its own. We can also combine with the relating of metta or loving kindness to develop the inner well-being and wholesome state of mind to enhance our meditation. After the mind sweeping method and metta training, our mind should be more relaxed, calm and peaceful by then. So we can use it to develop sati, the silent mind with inner awareness via anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath. Training as taught by the Buddha in his Kayanupassana practice. After that, when sati is already quite stable, we should move on to mindfulness of the four postures, followed by sati sampajana, which is daily mindfulness with clear comprehension training as described in the Kayanupassana, six category of practices. Once sati is established, use it to cultivate the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths and the four foundations of mindfulness to complete the training. The real meditation, as taught by the Buddha, is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, leading to the cessation of all suffering and enlightenment in the here and the now. So the summary we have already gone through. Turn to the last page. This one is important. I just finish this off, then we go. Sit too long. I've been sitting for many hours. Okay. Okay. You look at this chart. What is meditation as taught by the Buddha in the center? Correct? Can see or not? You look at all the other chart. The first one is definition. Meditation is to initially to decondition one's heedless thinking via training the mind to be heedful. Then use it to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, to cultivate wisdom, to liberate the mind, so that it is at peace with all life situations. So this is the main key definition, Asana. Because you have been heedless for so long. If you don't have heedlessness, then you don't need to decondition, Asana. You can silent, just silent, you will be aware. Yeah. So next one is, how to develop the five spiritual faculty with strong determination to overcome the five hindrances. What are the five hindrances? They are all summarized there. What are the five spiritual faculty? They are all summarized here. Huh? So the technique is, in order to decondition and develop the spiritual faculty, puja is to develop the five spiritual faculty, huh? Devotional practice, to overcome the five hindrances. So puja serves its purpose. Okay, then mind sweeping method with metta is to decondition your heedless thinking. Then anapanasati plus four posture and daily mindfulness to stabilize your mindfulness and to become heedful. Use the heedful mind to cultivate the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths and the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. That's why this is a very good summary. So here also has written clearly, mind sweeping method is to decondition the heedless thinking through only feeling and relaxation without thinking. Then the final result of meditation is very important. Meditation is about realizing the wisdom to be at peace with all situations. We are accepting the reality of the moment. So here one box is to insight into the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self to realize the unreality of the five aggregate of form and mind. So can follow, huh? So this chart is a very good summary. So with that, I think most of the thing covered, except one poem. There is one sheet last time. I think I just have enough time to finish that one. There is one sheet which I wrote, like a, because it came to me one day. Then I wrote about this true mind. The last page, the nature of mind. This one is very good. Last time I wrote an email out to people. Dear all, the following just came to my contemplation. I wrote them down just for sharing. Hope you all can benefit from it. Do reflect and contemplate on the Dhamma expressed by and with metta always. The nature of mind. Listen carefully. If you can have a truly silent mind that is free of all conditioning or views or belief system, then your mundane mind or thinking mind cannot arise, because the silent mind in pure, non-reactive or choiceless awareness cut off all thinking. Cut off all thinking means no thinking. No thinking means empty mind. Empty mind means the silent mind, or your true nature before thinking or the knowing arise. Before thinking and knowing, there is no mundane mind. This is a very important point. Correct not? When you silent, before the aggregate come out, there is no mundane mind. Understand not? Then you are with the true mind, direct seeing. So this point I purposely re-emphasize. Before thinking and knowing, knowing is perception, there is no mundane mind. When thinking and knowing appear, mundane mind or the delusional you, the fake you, the egoic mind will arise. When mundane mind arise, what happen? When that mind arise, what happen? All of Dhamma arise, anasara. Everything that you come to know, which is Dhamma, anasara, will arise. When Dhamma arise, the mind rate, mental form created by the thinking mind via consciousness will also arise. That's why the phenomenal world come to be. The world and the continent and the universe come to be. Understand? This is how you create. And when form arises, craving, grasping, attachment, and clinging via form and mind, identification will arise. This is Sakkaya Ditti, if there is no wisdom. When craving, clinging, or grasping arise, suffering will be the result, leading to all the sorrow, lamentation, unhappiness, grief, etc. The mundane mind, via its thinking or the thought, will give birth to all the dhammas, mind-like creation and duality of life, like existence and life, birth and death, happiness and sorrow or unhappiness, good and bad, like and dislike, pleasant and pleasant, etc. Hence, samsara born of mundane consciousness. The mundane consciousness created the world and the continent, and the knower becomes the living being. That's why you are so deluded, you think there is a knower. There is no one to know. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to know. No one to see, you know. Can you agree? Because when the egoic mind is not there, who is there to see? Like the baby. It's just pure consciousness. Just aware. There is no ego yet. No observer yet. Observer come about when you cling to the ego. That's why Krishnamurti is very wise, is it? Wherever there's an observer and an observed, you are violent. You become violent. Where you separate yourself from what you see. And whenever you call yourself a Buddhist or a Christian or a Malay or Muslim, you are violent. Where you start to divide. So that's why he knows thought divide. Thought is limited. Thought has the power to divide and cause conflict, confusion, delusion. Okay, next one. The true understanding of sati or mindfulness. This one is very good. The definition of what is mindfulness or sati is seldom explained to the Buddhist fraternity. Below is an extract of my definition, explanation of what sati is to a monk, sometime in the year 2008. Where this monk wrote to me personally. Then I wrote back and explained to him. I told him, to be in sati is to be with the moment in awareness before the knowing and without thought. The relaxed, free, open and silent mind which is not preoccupied with anything at all. To observe via the direct seeing or direct observation to realize the truth and the reality of the way things are. Without any distortion or interference by one's thought, views, and conditioning. Man can do only one thing at a time. That is, either you are mindful or in sati with the silent mind, or you are lost in thought. When you are lost in thought, you cannot see because your thought cloud and obscure your seeing, and they prevent observation. Correct or not? Now very clear. It lacks clarity because your mind at those moments is so preoccupied with your doing, or so-called meditation, where you use the thought to meditate, via your thought, views, and opinion. That makes it not free. That is, it is not free, clear. It's not a free, clear, and open mind that is not preoccupied with any thing or issue to see and to realize the truth. Clearly. Hence, to really meditate, one has to be constantly meditative, ever mindful, in sati, silent and free. Only such a mind can meditate, see, observe, investigate, understand and realize the truth via its direct seeing, direct or clear seeing, following Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative, ever mindful and the steadfast one or the heedful one, realize the bond-free supreme Nibbana. Dhammapada verse 21 and 22 also stress on the importance of apamada or heedfulness, which is to be constantly meditative. We are cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path and ever mindful. Then below, this is an added message that I sent to one of the sincere Dhamma practitioners to complement the above understanding. I wish you all the best too, and like you said, do keep an open mind. Because he asked me to keep an open mind. The two of them tried to defend this monk, their teacher, because somehow the thing turned out to be, because the way I explained, I didn't argue, then it backfired on him. So I was feeling not so, well, I never intend anything. I just sincerely answered. Well, he asked for views and opinion, or he asked people to help because he got problem defining what sati is. Because one of the students tell him, he said, "Teacher, your definition of mindfulness is like the four right effort, is it? It's not mindfulness." Then he said, "Yeah." After some time, he said, after some thought, he said, "What he said got some truth." So he want people to help him. So I send the thing to him. Then after that, don't know what happened. He go and reply in a very strange way. Then after that, I reminded him that I wrote this because you asked for help. And this is my sharing. I hope you respect me for what you are and you respect me for what I am. So because of that, after that, he himself become like paise, because it showed that the thing was actually his request, and I just answered, and I never meant anything. So the student tried to defend him, wrote to me, said, "Mr. Teo, you must have an open mind. You haven't tried his method. You haven't tried his technique. You don't know what this is. You have an open mind." So I reply back to this student. I said, "I wish you all the best too. And like you say, do keep an open mind. Hope you truly understand its deep meaning." So that your cup is not always full. An open mind is a free mind that is not preoccupied with any views, idea, doubt, concept, thought, or opinion. Asana means no right, no wrong. Only such a mind is open and free to receive truth via the direct seeing, so as to go beyond thought and beyond time. Sanditiko and akaliko. Then after that, there was another two email. But this time, because the monk toned down and tried to explain what he did, and he tried to say even some of his disciples who do like that, also experience those type of very good meditation. Then I was thinking how to resolve it amicably. So I read through what he wrote later on when he toned down, make some sense. There is some possibility of enlightenment. So I say, "Thank you so much for this latest reply." I say, "Based on what you say," I think it is possible. But definitely not the definition of sati or mindfulness that you gave earlier on. I say, "If you give that type of definition as sati, no way." I say, then the student so happy, you know. "Thank you so much," replied to me. Like got a solution already, you know. For your whatever. Then we resolve the thing. Then after that, no more communication. So everything settled back. So this was one of the early encounters. Okay, this triangle down here, appendix 1, is to help you understand. The C up there is the pure awareness or pure consciousness. I lump it with the oneness, because this is pure consciousness and the oneness is on top, but I lump it together. So this is the essence of mind. Remember I told you? True nature or original nature, unconditioned, beyond thought, beyond time, and beyond mind, means mundane mind, cannot be perceived or sensed, stillness. The other thing which you can add is it cannot come out and live. So what happened is you have the S there. You know what is S or not? S stands for what? Sense basis or senses. Human being is caught here, understand not? We have a physical body with the senses, understand not? So this one create thinking mind, mundane conscience, because as the senses upon contact through the pure awareness or pure mind or the true mind, it can trigger of condition arising consciousness, the five aggregate of form and mind. So the five aggregate of form and mind, every time happen here. So if you use this consciousness from your heartbeat, yeah, to trigger off sense door consciousness, which is the five agriya form and mind, the conditioned arising mind, then you create mundane living or experiences. Understand? Huh? The first arrow come down on your right. Huh? Then on your left, there is a you. You is what? Understanding, wisdom, born of right view. Yoniso manasikara. This understanding can only come about if you use your pure awareness to do the meditation, silent mind, direct seeing. That's why I put there, silent mind, direct seeing via sati or pure awareness, awaken to the truth. You become wise. So this wisdom, once the wisdom is there, you can use it for living. That is supramundane living. The enlightenment, the enlightened one live this way. So that's the final copy of the notes that I want to share with you. Okay, with that we can end. You all can have the closing puja. Then afterwards, maybe you have to clean up the whole place, pack and get ready for the closing ceremony. Okay, I think Sui An got a request, isn't it? There is one sister in coma. Sister, what?
Sukihoto again. This sister Tan King Lan is one of the SJBA members. He has been helping a lot of, in our Dharma activities, the introduction to Buddhism, the introduction to meditation and all. Exactly 2 years ago, on May the 4th, she and her husband was on the way back from lunch. They were on a motorcycle. So as the husband made a U-turn, another motorcycle knocked into them. Both the husband and the wife fell down. The husband got a bit of scratch on the leg. The wife got injury in the brain. Then she went to SGMC for operation and all, then transferred to Sunway, then transferred to UH, then transferred to GH. So after 1 year, which is 1 year ago exactly, she's finally home. And after being home for a few months, then she has an infection again and back to UH. So all this while, the last 2 years, she's in a coma. And I think Sister Ingby and the SJBA chanting Ferris has been almost on a monthly basis, or twice a month, go in and chant for her. So anyway, since today is
anniversary,
and then we have done four days of cultivation. So perhaps if you can all just share merits with
her. Can. Also, I told Sui An, earlier on, I didn't know she did so many things for the temple too. So we should invoke her own power of merits. That one is very important. So, okay, I will help you to make this so-called sharing of merit, transfer of merit, and help her to invoke her own power of her own merits to maybe help bring about a possibility of recovery. It depends on her physical condition. Because if it's a very serious type of stroke, especially after 2 years, not so easy. But sometimes the way this nature's law works is very strange, very funny. Where there have been instances of people in coma for quite long, all of a sudden just come back. So this one needs causes and conditions. So we try our best to help in whatever way, because there is affinity, like Sui An said. This lady, Sister Tan King Lan, she has been helping the Sunday school and all the skiing, and a lot of goodness and wholesomeness has been done. So we just invoke the first part first. We should rejoice in her wholesomeness by saying sadhu 3 times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May all those sincere and good, wholesome action, wholesome deeds that she has done and cultivated since she was helping out in SJBA and as a Buddhist devotee, her cultivation. By the power of all this wholesomeness and merits and our rejoicing, may it bring about the causes and conditions for her, Sister Tan Kheng Lan, to recover from her stroke so that she can gain back her normal consciousness again, to become a normal human being again as soon as possible. Then hopefully by the power of whatever wholesomeness and merits that we have cultivated during this retreat session, all our Dhamma sharing, your puja, your meritorious action, your generosity, your kindness, your good thought, and all the good things that we have done, we should all rejoice first. Sadhu, we all this wholesomeness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So by the power of all this wholesomeness, goodness, and rejoicing, may it arise the causes and condition for it to pave the way for Sister Tan Kheng Lan to actually have the condition to recover from this situation of her, the stroke and all those things. Then may it also share and receive this merit. Because normally transfer merit is for people who have passed away. This one we need to share. If she can take and receive, we are willing to share so that it can help her in whatever way possible for her to realize her good and noble wish. Even though she is in a coma, the consciousness is still there. So by the power of all this wholesomeness, we really wish her all the best. Shall we say sadhu again? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, then before we have our closing ceremony, we should do the closing puja. So one more time, we chant all those sharing of merits with the devas, transfer merits, then we invoke the blessing for the nation. After that, you make your aspiration. Then, before you leave this place, if you can, make aspiration in front of the Buddha in Kuan Yin, so that it can help you in your future. Sometimes when you attend all this retreat ceremony, like the chanting or what, it brings about condition if you make that vow. So that in future when you take birth, you will know why this thing happened. Then you don't have to ask me, Brother, why when I heard this, my tears it's because this is something familiar to you. You make that very strong vow. Your nature wants you to have that answer. So that's why when you hear the vibration, like very familiar, you will be attracted to it. Understand? So this is how you make firm aspiration or adhittan, so that it creates affinity and condition for you to link. Otherwise, very difficult. Otherwise, it's just like another picnic. Understand? Then forgotten. Then when you return to daily life, you don't really benefit much. Okay? So now we chant the sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Vita vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one and all those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hantunya tayo. อิดังเมญะทินังโหตุสุขิตาหันตุเนตโยอิดังเมญะทินังโหตุสุขิตาหันตุเนตโย Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all do be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena.Sasa sampatihito ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always. May the government of the day, the king and the ruler, be righteous. Okay, make your aspiration now. อิมินาปุญญังคามินาบาลาสมากโมสัตตังสมากโมโหตุยาวานิวานาปาติยา By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we now follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu.Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully, huh? 3 times.